Brilliant.
We are making him sweat here in tropical North Queensland, but thankfully for all the right reasons, he might come back and visit us again. Minister for Agriculture and Northern Australia, David Littleproud, welcome to Cairns. Good morning.
Yeah, good to be back. Despite the humidity, it is a beautiful place, the tropics up here in Cairns, so lucky to be up here.
Really turning it on this morning, certainly from where I am in the studios here in town. It's a beautiful start to the day. But look, let's just start by talking about your trip. I believe you actually met with some of the growers to the west of Cairns out across the Tablelands yesterday.
Yeah, I did. And obviously they've got labour shortages and what the federal government has recently announced. And in fact, the National Party was able to secure with the free trade agreement with the UK, with our coalition partners, the Liberals, the Cura and Ag Visa. And so what that means is that it'll be complementary and supplementary to the Pacific scheme. There's about 25,000 men and women sitting on the tarmac in 10 Pacific nations ready to come now. We just need the state chief health officers to give the health ticks to let them in quarantining. But we want to add to that, and this is a big structural change. So that's the seasonal workers that'll come, they'll transit through, they'll go home. The ag visa not only looks at seasonal workers, but it looks at skilled and semi-skilled. So what we want to do is bring the next generation of migrants to regional Australia, to agriculture, to grow regional Australia, to grow ag. And this is the biggest structural change to agricultural workforce in our nation's history, because we've had to change. COVID's changed the world, and backpackers won't be back for some time. But this is a way to populate regional rural Australia, to get those men and women that want to come here and start a life in Australia, contribute to regional Australia. This is a way to bring them in, bring their skills in, but we are definitely at a shortage, and that's the biggest constraint on agriculture at the moment. If we could get labour, I can tell you agriculture will go even further, even though we've just announced that it'll go to $73 billion this year. That's the biggest it's ever been.
Interestingly for Cairns too, even this initiative is assisting our tourism industry. I was talking actually to an accommodation house owner just a few days ago, and I think he had about 40 or 50 Samoans staying at his particular accommodation place, during the quarantine period. So a real shot in the arm for him too.
Exactly. So it's about making sure that it goes right through the economy. And we're also understanding there are shortages also in the hospitality and tourism industry, and we're addressing that through removing the 88 days to work in agriculture for the north, up here in northern Australia. And so what we're saying is we're replacing that with the Ag Visa and the Pacific Scheme, so to look after that, because there's constraints on everybody. But when we get these people here, there's an economic flow on, not just from the wages they earn, but for what they have to do here, whether that be quarantine or stay in a motel or a pub. And invariably, they go to the local IGA and go to the local cafe and bakery and buy a feed as well. So it has a flow-on effect, but it's the output, the agricultural output, because this is where agriculture will grow. It's in the north. We've got mature production systems in the south where I'm from. This is where agriculture can really grow beyond $100 billion. It'll have to happen in the north, and that's why we want to make sure we're putting everything we can around northern Australia to do that.
Look, as I'm sure you've been made aware, even here in Cairns City, you know, we're at a crossroads with respect to water security. We need to do additional things for water security for our city. But looking further afield, out across the Tablelands and right across the country, Drought Fund, part of your announcement here to Tropical North Queensland today. Tell me a little bit more about this and how it's likely to assist farmers and hopefully even cities like Cairns.
Yeah, so we've already got $3.5 billion set aside to plumb the nation. And in fact, the sad thing is that since 2003, there's only been 20 dams built in this country. 16 of those have been in Tasmania. So the Tasmanians have effectively plumbed their state. The other states have been a little slow in taking up that money. And so what we're saying to the state governments, you plan it, we'll pay for it. It's as simple as that. And so they own the resource. Farmers are very keen to get hold of the water. So there's $3.5 billion worth of cash to start digging some holes, to burn some diesel, and to get some water there to give water security, not just for agriculture, but for urban amenity. This is a frightening statistic for people in Cairns and right across the eastern seaboard. By 2030, there'll be a 37% reduction in storage capacity per person per megalitre of water. So what that means is our population's increase, but state governments haven't bothered to look at water infrastructure to support that. So your ability to turn a tap on is going to be impinged at some point in the future. And that's why we said, here's $3.5 billion. Let's go and build some water infrastructure. But today I'm announcing $20 million, and part of that, $2.5 million, will go to JCU out here. It's one of our drought innovation hubs. But what we're doing is, this is the next evolution of these drought innovation hubs. It's not just about drought. It's actually about innovation. There's about $1.1 billion worth of innovation money, research and development money, given by the federal government and farmers. And what we're saying is, we want that funneled into these universities, these regional universities. I have nothing against sandstone unis in capital cities, but I want to see the best and brightest minds in our regional universities up here in Cairns and their nodes in Townsville, so that they're up here and our farmers can feel and touch the research that they're doing. Not down in Brisbane, because invariably a farm on the tablelands is not going to go down to Brisbane and see what they're doing down there. But if JCU's doing it, then they have faith and confidence in it. And this is about bringing the next generation of young people into agriculture in universities like JCU. So I'm trying to ramp up and funnel as much of our research dollar through our regional universities, and JCU has led the way in that, and they've been awarded one of these hubs. There was $88 million to support that. This is the next phase in ramping JCU up to the next level.
With the tree and sea changes that are basically happening across the country as a result of COVID-19, that further shoring up of the resources, and of course that innovation in the regions is certainly, I think, something that I certainly applaud, and I think it's something we need to look further to. Let's move on to the Indigenous ranges and biosecurity. This is a wonderful concept in a lot of ways, actually. Traditional owners and Indigenous people working on country to be the front line of biosecurity, pest and disease detection, particularly in our part of the world, a great opportunity and very much needed, Minister.
Oh, they are. And in fact, these are fee-for-service businesses. This isn't the federal government just handing out money. These are professional Indigenous men and women who are trained at the front line of securing Australia's borders against biosecurity threats. And only in the last week that they were able to find a mussel here up in North Queensland, that would be devastating to the fishing industry. And they did that because they used technology on an underwater drone, but they also used their traditional skills. So this is a blending of traditional skills and knowledge of over 1,000 years with modern day technology. And we were recently also just put on 5 new Indigenous ranger trainees, and they're sole focus is around biosecurity. So we put over $1 billion into biosecurity in the last 3 months from the budget. And effectively what we're saying is that money is about having to have boots on the ground. The men and women at the front line that can go and protect our borders. Because if we got an incursion of foot and mouth disease, it'd cost us around $50 to $60 billion. So what these men and women are doing is fantastic. And the next generation are coming through. So we're actually ramping these Indigenous rangers, biosecurity rangers, up even more, and we believe that they'll play a very pivotal role in securing our borders.
It's an essential thing, I mean, particularly in this part of the world, and I think the right people for the right job. As we wrap up this morning, we were touching on innovation. With New South Wales just in the last week or so making the decision to reach net zero emissions by 2050, they did so on the basis of economic opportunities and innovation. Minister, do you accept that even for our agricultural industries, achieving that net zero emissions provides more economic opportunities in the medium term than some of that short-term cost?
Well, I think that's what we want to see. That's what our plan will be able to articulate to the Australian people, is that we can do this through the smarts of the 21st century, of the best minds in the world right here in Australia, and the technology, whether that be in agriculture or resources or energy. We believe that a technology approach to this will give us those reductions in emissions, but keep prices from blowing out and losing jobs. And whether that be through carbon capture storage for the coal industry and for the gas industry, or whether it be the new hydrogen. And those are the types of things. I think we're letting the emotions run away from us here. What we need to understand is those men and women that are out there in coal mines at the moment, they're still going to have a job. They'll have a job till they retire. The next generation, well, whether that's they stay in coal through carbon capture storage technology, or whether they're in the new jobs, whether that be in hydrogen, that's the thing, is what we want to put a roadmap to show everybody that there is an opportunity and that we shouldn't have fear. And this is the thing, is that you have to have a detailed plan. You've got to be honest with the Australian people and your global community. And we've met our Paris commitment, we'll beat it. And we also met Kyoto. So the self-loathing that goes on this country that, well, we don't live up to our national commitments is wrong. Let me tell you, we're one of the few countries that will meet all our commitments we've made. And if we sign up to net zero, then we'll tell the world how we're going to get there and who pays for it. And that's the important thing, is you just don't blindly sign up to something until you can be honest with the Australian people and honest with the global community. And that's what we'll do.
Go and enjoy the sunshine and a bit of sunshine in our discussion this morning as well. David Littleproud, great to have you in the region. Have a great day. Some interesting stuff coming up. He's the Minister for Agriculture and Northern Australia. David Littleproud, have a great day. Cheers.
Thanks for having me, mate.
It's 8464 CA News on the way fairly shortly at 7 after 7. We're going to be talking about turtles right here at 4CA.